This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Take me to the Petrie, way down by the sea, where I will follow Swansea setting. Once our city's football team went on to Swansea Town, and after years in Division 2.
Good evening. You are listening to Love Sport and me, Matt Beadle, with you through to 11 p.m. this evening. And right now, it is the Swansea City Fan Show. I am joined, as ever, by Ryan Pridmore from Ambition is Critical. Hello, Ryan.
Hiya, Matt. How's it going, Matt?
Very good, thank you. Great to have you on the show, as always. And Stephen Carroll is with us from Jackcast.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Stephen. Gents, it has been quite the week since we last spoke, of course. Last time out, that defeat to Derby. Since then, a drab draw at home to QPR. Zero shots on target on that occasion. And on Friday night, plenty more shots on target. And what a thriller it was at the KCOM. Three times coming from behind and right at the death going ahead through Rian Brewster, his third goal for the club. But it was not to be. A Tom Ease equaliser for Hull in injury time meant that it was 4-4. It is winless in five. It's just one win in seven. Now 5 points adrift of the playoffs. But hey, as always on the Swansea City Fan Show, as it seems to have been the case since we started doing this show, and I hope that we're not a bad omen, but let's be positive. Leeds, the only team in the top seven to bag 3 points this weekend. There were wins for Millwall and Blackburn, however, but it does mean that the playoffs are still well within reach, perhaps even still hopes of those automatic promotion places. We're going to get into all of that throughout the next half hour here on the Swansea City Fan Show, whilst looking ahead to all the action next week too. Ryan, I'll come to you first. Your reaction on the past 7 days, QPR first and then Hull.
Well, it was genuinely one of the most Swansea City weeks in the history of Swansea City. I think it pretty much sums us up. Defeat from the jaws of victory last week against Derby. One of the most terrible games I've ever had to endure in my life against QPR on Tuesday. I was just embarrassed that it was even shown on Sky Sports, so the news had to watch it. And then Friday night, where it looked like 22 men had been drinking in the pub all afternoon before they went and played football, and defence was thrown completely out the window on both sides. Entertaining for the neutral, obviously, when you get 8 goals like that. As a fan, my genuine reaction at the end of the game was, I was surprised we didn't go and lose 5-4. It was an absolutely crazy game. We go from, not literally, like you said, not having a shot on target on Tuesday to go and score 4 goals, which we haven't done all year, and then still managed not to win the game. It was, you just got to laugh. I genuinely, at the end, just laughed to myself and go, this is it. This is being a Swansea City fan. This is what it's all about. Like,
it was quite staggering, wasn't it? Like you said, the fact that both of those games were live on Sky, in one sense, was, you know, good for the neutral because it was a thriller on Friday. Not so good for a Swansea City fan. The QPR game, yes, complete and utter dross. So difficult to watch, and especially as a Football League fan, when you're trying to really campaign for the Championship being far more entertaining than the Premier League, it didn't really do that argument much justice. Stephen, I'll come to you now. The past 7 days, I'm presuming you're echoing the thoughts of Ryan.
Yeah, similar, really. Swansea's always been a bit of a bonkers club, really. I say there's never been a dull moment, but obviously Tuesday was extremely dull. But I think it's just a case of, with us, expect the unexpected, really. And yeah, that's really what we got, wasn't it? Especially if you look at seeing what is probably one of the worst and most boring games in living memory Tuesday. And then Friday, we saw everything, really, didn't we? So yeah, it's a strange club at times, Swansea. But it's certainly, if it is boring, it doesn't last for very long, should we say. And yeah, we saw everything on Friday. And yeah, frustrating. frustrated, I think, is probably the term you're looking at, especially if you look at Derby now as well. The game from last week, 1 point from nine. If we're serious about playoffs, I think that was nowhere near enough of a point tally to take from it.
Yeah, frustrated was certainly the emotion that manager Steve Cooper as well exhibited after the game. A scathing attack, really, on the performance against Hull, his players as well. Here's what he had to say.
On the flip side, the goals that we've given away are just absolute gimmies. All the same, not getting enough pressure on the first ball that's allowed to just be put in our box. We've not won the first headers and not picked up the second ones. To concede four goals of the same like that is disappointing. And if I'm being honest, it feels like a defeat. We're only looking at ourselves. I've only got ourselves to blame. Because it was black and white, you know. We've not done the non-negotiables of the game well enough. And that's competing. There's, like I said, too many. When they had the ball, that we were too far off it. We were letting them just put balls into the box, and then we didn't deal with it. So it's as simple as that, really. And if they're nothing but disappointed with that, then, you know, that won't be for me.
So that was Steve Cooper talking immediately after the game against Hull, gents. I think the quote that really sticks out for me is the fact that if they're anything but disappointing, then that won't be for me. He was quite clearly not happy. You kind of feel like he'd really laid into them when they got back into the changing room after the game. And even when he went to shake hands with Grant McCann, he almost found that difficult. He seemed utterly, utterly beside himself, Ryan.
Yeah, he's coming for a lot of stick, Cooper. Especially over the last week. I think, not me personally, but if maybe this is the week where he may have lost a few of the fans. And, you know, I'm sure he feels that. He feels that pressure. And but you take Cooper out of it. You know, he's a coach. Yeah, he's got to coach the players, but he's working with what he's got. And what he's got on the pitch is no leaders. And there's got to come a time where the players need to stand up. And the players need to take responsibility for the things they're doing. What he's saying there is correct. Second balls, desire, they're not showing it. At times, you know, you need two or three leaders on a pitch, not just one captain. And sadly, that is what we are lacking and what we've been lacking all year, especially when Van der Hoorn's out the side. Van der Hoorn gives us a bit of stability. You take that out with a group of youngsters, let's not forget, you know, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23-year-old boys. And that's massively what we lack. And I think that's what he's talking about there as regards to, you know, second balls and winning this and that, maybe experience. And he's getting a lot of the blame for it, for what's happening on the pitch.
You mentioned Mike van der Hoorn there. I know that we spoke about the centre-back pairing last week, Stephen, but Joe Rodon, obviously not in action against Hull. He picked up a knock in that draw with QPR. We're led to believe that he's going to be back for the game with Huddersfield, and it can't come soon enough, right? Without Mike van der Hoorn, without Joe Rodon, those goals, as was seen on Friday, that defence, I mean, it was chaotic at times, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was shambolic, really, defensively. As Cooper has said, a lot of them were similar types of goals, really, and you know, you can't really make excuses for it. I mean, I think Ben Wilmot, in general, has been quite good this season, but he's been in and out with the side now recently. That probably hasn't helped. Mark Wehi, or however you say it, if I'm honest, he doesn't convince me at this stage. I think he is very inexperienced, but we've got better centre-halves than him. I don't think he should be playing. I personally think he's playing to appease Chelsea, because we want to keep him for next season, where we're probably going to need him, because Van der Hoorn will leave on a free. Rodon is probably going to get sold. So then we're going to be short. And obviously, if Wilmot goes back to Watford, it's just him and Ben Cabango then. So I think that's what we're doing, but it's not helping us in the short term. And I know, obviously, Woodman is someone we've discussed over the last couple of weeks. He's not had a great week either. There were a couple of shaky moments against QPR, and he could have done better for a couple of the goals as well. So I'm a bit concerned about Woodman. I think not so much that he's a bad goalkeeper or anything, I don't think that's the case, but I think he's someone who's lost a bit of confidence, and that probably doesn't help the defence either. So there's quite a few defensive issues here at the moment, I would say, and I think they need to be sorted out on the training ground this week, because if you defend like we did the other day, you're never going to pick up any points, because I think we were lucky we were playing against a side like Hull, who've lost a lot of players through injury, sold their best two players, and you know, we may well have lost to a better side, should we say, but it's a game that you've got to win, really, and to score
Absolutely, it is. And I know that it's only been a few games, really, since Gueye came in on that loan deal from Chelsea, but not really having the impact that you'd look at the likes of Fikayo Tomori having at Derby County last year. Of course, Mason Mount doing incredibly well. Harry Wilson on loan at Derby last season from Liverpool. On the flip side, you can look at Conor Gallagher. Two assists in that game with Hull was a constant threat pretty much throughout the game. And whilst the game was going on, we were doing the Leeds United fan show on this station, and they all looked and said, you know what, if we could have one player from the Championship at the moment in our team, it would be Conor Gallagher. He's just starting now to show the form that he showed in the first half of the season against Charlton. He did also say after the game that, yes, we've got a young squad, but that shouldn't matter at the moment. I don't want that to be an excuse. It's more about the team's mentality. He called the mentality into question, Ryan.
Well, yeah, you know, he'd know better than anyone, wouldn't he? Because he's there. So, you know, I can completely understand that. We look at the sidelines and you see them. What I noticed, and I noticed this early in the season, is they're not playing with smiles. You know, they don't seem to be playing with any enjoyment. And I think that is massive as a footballer. Surely if you want to go on a football pitch, you want to be like having a good time. And I don't think that they're sort of, whether it's the coaching, I'm not putting the blame on Cooper, it's the style, the tempo, I don't know. But when you see them, they don't seem to be enjoying themselves. And I think we'd be a much better side if we just went out there and enjoyed ourselves. And I think the fans would enjoy it more. I think last year under Potter, we lost games. And I came away like with a smile on my face going, that was a brilliant game of football. We lost 3-2 to Ipswich. We were bottom of the league at the time. And it was an amazing game of football. But at the moment, we're more likely to win a game 1-0. And me come away going, that is awful, you know? And I think that's what he's talking about there, is they've got to sort of be a bit more free-spirited in their play, I think. It just seems so boring. You know, I said that a few weeks ago, it's so boring and tenuous, you know, the way they play. And I don't know if that's the coaching or the lack of leadership on the pitch.
It's a great point you make, actually, about the team not playing with a smile on their face. And the conflicting nature of what Conor Gallagher is saying and what Andre Ayew is saying as well. He's saying, you know, we're the senior statesman in the team. We're the ones who have to take more responsibility. I think if the fans are angry, they should look at us as opposed to the younger ones. So while Conor Gallagher's out there saying, listen, it doesn't matter if we've got a young squad, there's a problem with the mentality, Andre Ayew is saying, look, myself, Wayne Routledge, the senior members of this team, Kyle Norton, need to stand up and say, no, direct your anger at us instead, Stephen.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? The sort of split there or different moves. I mean, it's always interesting to know what the players think. I actually think a lot of the stick has mainly been aimed at the manager rather than anybody else, because there was the chant of Cooper sorted out on Tuesday night in the Queen's Park Rangers game, and obviously you can't argue that that's against anyone else other than the manager. So I think, you know, the crowd are, within reason, slightly sympathetic down here because there are some younger players in here, but at the same time, I think we've been used to a certain style of football, and I think when we don't see it, we're not very happy. I think that's what a lot of the issue is here at the moment. In terms of booing, I'm not a fan of it, if I'm honest. I think it is counterproductive, and unless, for me, there's a player out there who's not trying, I don't really think it is deserved. I think if you look at someone who thinks they're not making any effort or anything like that, then they do deserve to get a bit of a roast tonight. So other than that, I mean, if you're not good enough, but you give it your all, then I don't think you warrant really a lot of criticism there. But as I say, I think the issue is really with the manager at the moment. I mean, as Ryan said, really, you don't see players playing with smiles on their faces, and it's because the football's quite drab. And I think that's what the issue is now. You're looking at the players, and I can't think of a player, actually, who was here last season who's played better this season. And that's quite damning, I would say, because a lot of the players are quite young. And you think for a lot of them, like Joe Roden as an example, his first season last year as a regular in the side, really. But we haven't seen a lot of those type of players who have kicked on as such this season. And you know, that's quite damning, really, because you're always looking, especially for young players, to improve. But I don't think this manager has improved players. So that's not a good thing. It doesn't really bode well for my confidence in him for the future.
It is an intriguing case indeed, isn't it? Especially someone who has a history, really, of developing young players. Of course, a World Cup winner managed that side, that under-17 side, that include Rian Brewster, of course, to World Cup victory just a few years ago. This is the Swansea City Fan Show. Next up, we're going to be talking George Byers. We are going to be looking ahead to the game against Huddersfield, of course, and maybe, just maybe, a couple more positives from that game with Hull.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
This is the Swansea City Fan Show here on Love Sport. We're with you through to 10 p.m. and then we'll be picking up with Norwich City, and then it is Sunderland at 10:30. So make sure you stick with us on this, our Sunday night fan show special. Right now we're talking all things Swansea City. Ryan Pridmore from Ambition is Critical joins me on the line, as does Stephen Carroll too from Jackcast. Now, gents, I did say we were going to quickly finish on the Hull game, and let's look at the few positives that there were around the game. There were improvements, better in the final third, of course. We spoke about Conor Gallagher in the first half. What about Jordan Garrick as well? His first appearance in 4 months for the side. He scored as well, Ryan.
He was being one of the real bright spots early in the year. Very, very pacey, very direct. Hasn't had that coached out of him yet, thankfully. And it was a pleasure to see him back, and obviously he came on and scored like that. I'm hoping for good things from him for the rest of the year, and hopefully he can stay fit, because he definitely adds something, definitely in a tempo and pace wise to our game, you know, getting up and down the right hand side.
Stephen, do you think he's going to have a big part to play in the remainder of the campaign?
I'm hopeful, because earlier in the season he really did show something. I mean, he played in a couple of the League Cup games, and there was one game he came on and made a big difference as a sub. I think he started another one and had an excellent game. Obviously, there was a game at QPR early in the season where we were under the cosh a bit. He's broken away, been fouled in the box, won us a penalty, and that turned the game back in our favour. So, yeah, I'm definitely hopeful. I think the only issue with Garrick has been he has had a few injury problems, I think, not just this season, I mean the previous one as well. So I'm a little bit concerned that we're going to have to, you know, we can't rely on him too much, because, you know, for example, if we were winning in a game by a couple of goals, it's probably worth getting him off, because he does seem like a player that will pick up the odd injury. So we've got to be careful with him, but he certainly gives us that something different, the pace and width that we're crying out for, really. And, yeah, I think if he could stay fit, then he could make a big difference for us, because we don't really have a winger like him at the moment.
Stephen, should we remember here that this is a young squad? I know we've spoken about that in the first section of the show, but do we need to bear in mind that A, it is a young squad, and B, that we do have a manager in his first ever senior role? Do we need to be careful not to condemn him in a sense? It's a similar scenario at Middlesbrough, I suppose, with Jonathan Woodgate in his first senior role. Started horrendously, for want of a better word, then had those five winning games on the bounce and is now starting to go backwards again. But is this all part of the learning process for the likes of Woodgate and Steve Cooper?
I think so, to an extent, yeah. But the issue that I've got, as I've said, I think a lot of the players are not really improving under this manager, and it's 7 wins in 27 games. So it's not great, is it, if we're being honest? I don't think he should be removed from his position at this stage, but if I said to you that I was convinced by him, then I'd be wrong as well. I do have some reservations there. I think he should be given more time at this stage, but I think the issue being that obviously next year is going to be a difficult one for Swansea, with a lot of players moving on again, and if we get recruitment wrong and we don't believe that this manager's picking up results or getting the best of the players, then it's going to be a real struggle. So I think, as I say, he does deserve some more time, but I am, you know, starting to gain doubts, and that is a concern really at this stage, even though, like I say, I believe managers should be given a reasonable amount of time. You can't be, you know, limitless with your patience either. I've got to see some positives, and like I said, last season I felt Swansea got better as the season went on, whereas this season I think we're getting worse. So that's what the concern is, even though people will say, oh yeah, we've got more points than this stage last year, but you know, I don't think we're going to end the season with more points than what we had last year, put it that way.
It's all relative, that argument, isn't it, about having more points or less points after a certain amount of games. I don't really buy into that particular stat, like you say, Stephen, because it is all relative. It all depends on how other teams are performing as well. Ryan, George Byers, he is now been ruled out for the rest of the season with an ankle injury. Andre Ayew, as it goes, is the only player to have scored more than George Byers this season. Yes, Sam Surridge scored 7. Boya Baston also weighed in with 6. Both of those players left the club in January. We spoke about what Jordan Garrett can offer the side for the rest of the season. What will the side miss with George Byers now being out?
It's crazy that you say that. Like, I didn't even realise that he'd scored that many goals because, truthfully, I didn't feel that Byers had been performing anywhere near as well as he did last year. I'm a big fan of anyone who comes through the academy and up. I want them to do well, you know. And I'd seen Byers in the under-23s. I'd been impressed with him. And last year under Potter, he seemed to play with a little bit more freedom. Obviously, you know, this harks back again to the management and to the coaching and what he's been asked to do. Because I don't think we've seen him at his peak this year compared to what he performed like last year. Obviously, it's sad to see him out for the year, for the rest of the season. We wouldn't want that for a youngster. But, you know, I genuinely don't feel like it's a massive loss, personally. I think Jan Danda will come in and hopefully... I see more from Danda, positive-wise, definitely. He's not as much of a grafter as Byers is, but he definitely gives us something going forward, and he's a goal threat, and he's looking for a killer pass, which is something we're lacking a lot in the team.
Agree with that, Stephen?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Byers was better last season. He's another good example, really, of a player that I feel has regressed, unfortunately. I think he'll come back stronger, hopefully. We'll see more from him, but I think in general this season he's not been brilliant. You know, he's had a few moments. He has chipped in with a couple of goals, even though, again, I'm surprised by that stat of him being our second top scorer who's still here, kind of thing. But I don't think Byers has been brilliant this season by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, gents, it is 13 games to go in the Championship. Will that be an unlucky or perhaps a lucky 13 for the Swans? Now down in 11th spot, like I said at the top of the show, Leeds the only team in the top seven to bag 3 points at the weekend. Blackburn, however, on a bit of an upward curve at the moment. Cardiff City just starting to show a bit of form under Neil Harris, of course. Millwall getting a first win in a while at the weekend too. So those teams are sort of coming into form. Bristol City's run was halted. Preston with a defeat as well. What are we looking at now with regards to Swansea until the end of the season? Of course, we won't go into all of the games, but Ryan, I'll come on to you for the next one. Huddersfield Town, they got a draw at the weekend, generally pretty good away from home. After that, it is a very tricky trip to promotion contenders, of course. Fulham, they lost quite heavily against Barnsley on the weekend. Then it's Blackburn, and then it is league leaders West Brom. So some tricky games coming up.
Yeah, well, you know, at the moment, every game is tricky for the Swans. You know, you look at this last week, you know, I'd have fancied maybe taking 9 points and then we come away with two. It wouldn't surprise me to go if we went and beat Hull, Huddersfield 4-0 or we lost 4-0. I generally don't know what we're going to get. I think it's going to be a tough finish to the season. I think 11th will be as high as we end up, if I'm honest with you, because I'm not sure where the next win is coming from. You know, there's a lot of, I don't know, you know, the fans feel the same. They're not sure what's going to happen. You're just turning up to the games out of blind loyalty a lot of the time. And you're just hoping that they can turn the corner. But sadly, we're not seeing anything that suggests that we're going to turn that corner.
Blind loyalty. I love that one, Ryan. The life of a football fan right there. We speak to the Southend United fans, to be fair, as well on the show, and tell you what, it is difficult. So spare a thought for those guys turning up week in, week out as well. Stephen, I'll come to you on the games coming up. Like I said, you know, it's Huddersfield, it's Fulham, it's Blackburn, it's West Brom. Some big, big games. And Ryan makes a very good point, you know. Every game now until the end of the season, we've got 13 left, is crucial. But the playoffs, as I said, just 5 points adrift, still realistically well within reach.
I can't see it, if I'm honest with you. I think the last week has put pay to that. We needed to get about 7 points, I think, so to get two is nowhere near enough. We're now 5 points off. I'm looking at the league table, and we're in 11th. So obviously there's 10 sides above us. We've got to play 8 of those sides before the season ends. And out of all of them, I think we've only beaten Leeds, Preston and Cardiff. So I'm really not convinced that Swansea are going to get anywhere near those playoff places, to be honest with you. I do think, obviously, if they were to go on a run, there'd be a chance. I did a piece in the fanzine that I do about sixth place. The average points tally for it the last 10 years is 74. So Swansea are obviously 26 short of that. 13 games left, so exactly 2 points a game is now needed. But I really, really just do not see it. For a team to get what would probably be about 8 wins and 2 draws from 13 games, who have only got 7 wins in 27, no chance as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, no chance. Stephen Carroll from Jack Cast there of Swansea getting into the playoffs, let alone those automatic promotion spots. Ryan Pridmore, thank you very much for joining me too from Ambition is Critical. This has been the Swansea City Fan Show. We'll be back next week with all the reaction from hopefully a win against Huddersfield. We'll see you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.